Am I live, Jimmy? Can you hear me, Jimmy? So if you're here for Bible study while we're doing the countdown, it's a little different tonight. So I'm going to ask, I'm not going to be pushy, but I'm going to ask that everybody try to sit down close tonight. And you'll understand why once we get started. So if you are here for Bible study and you don't mind sitting down closer to the front, we would appreciate you up here with everybody. Well, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday night family night here at the Lighthouse Pentecostal Church of God in Cary. If you're online tonight, we'd like to welcome you to our service and encourage you to make comments online. If you have questions or comments, just type them into the text box. If you have a prayer request, we ask you to do that in all caps. That way our monitor will know that that is a prayer request. Put as many or little details as you wish, and we'll pray for those prayer requests corporately at the end. And if you're here tonight in person, it's going to be a little different. I recognize a lot of you from most of our family nights. I think most of you have been here for the majority of our lessons that we've done in the Second Mile Leader. But tonight's the last teaching, I guess, is what we would call this, on becoming a Second Mile Leader. And this will be the 16th week. Isn't that amazing? I look at the numbers on our plans as a number. But today I was thinking about it and I said, that's not a number, that's a month or a week. And that's 4 months that we've been talking about the same topic. And I started thinking to myself, as a whole, if I told you we were going to speak on something for 4 months, you would be like, oh boy. But there has been so many different, unique attributes of a Second Mile Leader that we've talked about each week. And, you know, as people that are blessed to be able to come up here and stand and speak to you and study the lesson plans, you know, the first thing I want to make sure you know is that we're all in this together. And just because, you know, one of the instructors is talking about something doesn't mean we already have achieved it. And that's the body of Christ, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, that, you know, there is only one head of the body of Christ, and that's Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, even, I was talking about a friend of mine the other day at work, and we were talking about just, you know, Bible stuff. And we got to talking about, you know, Jesus even said, why do you call me good? And I asked the guy, I said, why do you suppose Jesus said that? Was he being super spiritual or overly self-righteous or trying to be, you know, a Mr. Humble? And I said, no, he said that. I believe in my heart that he said that not only to give glory to his Father in heaven, but also because he was a man. And I believe that Jesus believed what he was saying, and that God in heaven is the one that we have to be hearing. And when Jesus was on earth, he didn't do anything without his Father's business, right? That's what he says. I don't do anything without hear him first from the Father. So I just wanted to start that tonight because I had this, I don't know why, but I had this weird thoughts popping into my mind as I was, you know, studying and praying and reading. And I don't know why, but the spirit of Jezebel just kept popping into my head. And I was thinking about what the spirit of Jezebel stands for. And I wanted to mention that at the beginning of our study tonight because I want you to know that, first of all, that spirit has no place in a body of Christ. The spirit should be rebuked at the first sight, smell, sound, or feeling of it. Even if you get it wrong, rebuke that spirit anyway because it doesn't belong. And the spirit of Jezebel is something that, biblically speaking, is like a cancer in the body of Christ. It's an internal flesh-eating spirit that will just destroy churches, relationships, families, anything good. It's a wicked spirit. It's a manipulating spirit. It's an over-controlling spirit. It's a lying spirit. It's an adulterous spirit. It's everything bad. And we're going to talk about being a Second Mile Leader tonight. And I think kind of like not knowing what good is without having bad, I thought maybe that's why God kept dumping that spirit of Jezebel in my mind, that we need to know that the good things that we're going to talk about tonight are the opposite of that. And if we're going to be a healthy, growing, prospering church for the kingdom of God, that spirit has no place in these four walls. It has no place in your home, and definitely no place in your heart. So don't harbor it, don't entertain it, don't talk to it, rebuke it. And if we can all agree on that, we'll just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you for that little rant, but I don't know why, I just kept feeling that very strong that that was an important thing to just throw out there before we start. Because all those things that we've talked about for the last 15 weeks are going to be summed up tonight in our 16th and final lesson plan on being a second mile leader. So being a second mile leader, we've talked a lot about servanthood or service, which is kind of a oxymoron when you're talking about being a leader. But if anybody in the building has ever been a leader, you understand that leaders don't start at the top. I once had a little encouragement slide thing that I used to use, and it had a guy at the top of a mountain, and he was standing like he was hiking, and he had his hand up, and it said, "I didn't fall here." Because most leaders start out in service. You are not, I don't like it when people say he was a born leader. I don't believe that. You might have been born with characteristics in your life that can be shaped and molded into being a good leader, but I will tell you right now, a college education doesn't make you a good leader. Coming to church every Sunday doesn't make you a good leader. Getting a promotion at work doesn't make you a good leader. Studying, practicing, and loving people is the easiest way that I can think of to be a good leader. Because if you're studying what you're doing, in our case, we're talking about the Bible. If you're practicing what you're studying, in this case, we're talking about the Bible. And if you're loving, once again, we're talking about the Bible. You're equipping yourself to lead the church, to lead people to Christ, to disciple and lead people once they've committed their lives to Christ. Because you've already done that. You've already been there. Experience is one of the most important attributes of a leader. The experience, the scars, the pain, the suffering, the trials, the tribulations, and also the victories, the good things as well. But we're going to talk a lot about tonight about the character of our leadership character, I guess is the best way to say it. The things that we should have gotten from these last 15 lessons is what we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight is going to be a little different for me. We're not going to do a whole lot of Bible study, so to speak, or teaching, so to speak. Tonight is more of a recap. And the one thing I thought about this morning, and it's kind of interesting that Pastor Joe and Pastor Alicia, you know, they're keep trying to remember to talk to the graduates on Sunday morning, right? And I thought tonight's kind of can be considered a graduation from the second mile leader class. Because that's really where we're at. And whether you're here for the first time or if this is your 16th time, doesn't matter, because we're going to talk about things that are all connected to Scripture. They're all taught and lived out and examples set for us by Jesus. So you'll be able to catch up really fast if you haven't been here for all of them. Who do we serve? God? Jesus Christ? Yeah. So we've had some people paying attention for the last 15 weeks, huh? Because that's what it's all about. And when we're serving Christ, we are serving the church. When we're serving Christ, we're serving one another. And when we're serving Christ, we're serving those who need served. And that's the moral of what we're trying to get our heads around. And I thought how complicated it can be if we try to focus on all these different places of service. I don't serve Pastor Joe. I serve with Pastor Joe. And I also serve under Pastor Joe. But when we try to focus on people, I have an old saying I like to use, we don't see the forest for the tree. And if I'm focusing on making Pastor Joe and Pastor Alicia happy, I might be doing okay. Okay. But I'm not serving where my purpose has got me to serve. And I'll be serving the wrong master. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. And I want to simplify it before we start, that we are serving Christ. We are serving the kingdom of God. And most of us, if not all of us, feel like we've been called to serve Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God at the Lighthouse in Cary. And we have been called to serve under Pastors Joe and Alicia Turner, who also serve Christ and the kingdom of God in the Lighthouse, PCG, in Cary. Does that make sense? And the bishop who Pastor Joe serves under is also serving Christ and God in the PCG of Ohio and then wherever his church may be. So to combine them all together, I think simplifies it for us that our main focus needs to be serving Christ. And tonight we're going to talk a lot about what we should have gleaned from our lesson plans. And we're going to be witnesses for each other as we go through these. There's some lists and some commitments that we're going to talk about. And I like to think we're being witnesses unto each other as we commit to God tonight. That our hearts and our minds are made up to serve. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands when we get to parts that say, let's do this together, let's commit to God. We're not going to ask for a show of hands. What I'm going to tell you is that the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. So if you don't feel, I'm just being real with you right now. If you don't feel like making a vow, you're not impressing me by sitting back here pretending like you're saying it with me. Okay, because I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it with you. But we're speaking to our Father in heaven. Does that make sense? And I just wanted to clarify that. And I'll be honest with you, I called Pastor Joe today on the way here because I wanted to make sure that that was delivered the right way, that we didn't have people, because some of this stuff is going to feel a little, when I read through it, I talked to Sister Betty tonight, and when I read through it, I started feeling a little kind of, you know, what do you want to call it? Ritualistic type stuff. And that is not the intention of tonight's study. The intention is to commit ourselves to God as a body. And I feel like we will be witnesses and accountability partners for each other. Does that make sense? I hope everybody understands that. And I wanted to say that before we started because I don't want any feeling or weird feeling you have if I say, now recite this after me. I want you to remember back to what I just said. Okay, so if you have a weird thought about it, you can come up to the microphone because if I misspoke it or missaid it, come up and correct me, okay? Because that is not the intention of our pastors, and that is definitely not the intention of Jesus Christ himself for us to be serving anything except for the kingdom of God. Does that make sense? Hope I didn't waste too much time explaining that, but I thought it was important to clarify that before we started. So, before we waste any more time, we're going to get right into it. So as I said, this is our last lesson. One of the things that is written on our paper, and I think every church should have this, and that is openings and availability for service in our church. So if you're here tonight and you're looking for a place to serve, there's a place for you in this body. And you can see Pastor Joe, myself, Trisha, Alicia, Darius, Dunya, Sister Karen, whoever. We'll get you volunteer apps. We'll get you signed up and let you look at all the opportunities we have. You can check the window back there. There's things on the window. There's things on scrolling slides. So if you're not involved yet, I'm hoping that after tonight, you feel qualified if you didn't yesterday. Because that's the name of our lesson plan tonight is qualifications. Now, we also talk about God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called, right? So don't misinterpret what that I just said. But my point is it's in our hearts. And it's a problem in the church where people don't feel worthy or don't feel good enough or don't feel like they can do it as well as that person. Get rid of that. Rebuke that thought and get involved because there's a place for you, okay? So tonight, we're going to focus on setting an example for believers. As in 1 Timothy, it says, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Our lesson plan has got those all categorized in one paragraph or two in each one of those categories, and we're going to talk a little bit about each one of them. I don't feel like it's going to be a Bible study where it's going to be a whole lot of, I don't know what the interaction maybe as far as that goes, as far as people wanting to run up to the microphone and comment. I just feel like this study is a little different than that. But what I want to do is I want you to encourage you to come up to the microphone as we talk about speech and give examples. Because one of the things the lesson plan doesn't do this time is it doesn't give a whole lot of examples, and I want to tell you why. Because the examples we need to hear are yours. They're examples in your life, how you feel like you can do what we're talking about. And God forbid how you've messed it up in the past, maybe. Because that's real. And if we're going to serve the kingdom together, and I don't know that there's a mistake that can be made, I'm destined to relive it. So if John Malone's got something where he says, you know, I thought I was doing a brother some good one day, and I told him this, and I found out yesterday that this was happening in his life, and if I'd have kept my mouth shut, if I'd have just not said that, right? So don't be ashamed of that, because we're here together to build each other up, to serve together. Amen? So speech. It says, as a second mile leader, we refrain from speaking negatively over others in their lives. We refuse to speak negative words about the church, its leaders, or our fellow second mile leaders. If we have issues with things that happen in the course of our relationship or within the operation of a ministry, we agree to bring those matters to the leaders of that ministry privately and request assistance in providing a remedy for the situation. One of the things I wrote there for personal if I have a problem with something that our pastors are doing. And you can define problem any way you want to. I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It's change. It's stupid. It's blah, 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 whatever. One of the notes I made there, I should find out why they're doing it. Do you know that's a cancer in the church? If I don't agree with what Pastor Joe's doing, Instead of walking up to Pastor Joe going, hey, man, you got 30 seconds? But instead, I come over here and go, can you believe they're doing that? Like, doesn't even make sense to me. Because what does that do? That breeds discontent. Because the person that I go to may have just been going with the flow and going, oh, okay, Pastor Joe said that's what we're doing, that's what we're doing. He hadn't even given it a second thought until I let him know I didn't like it. So my thought on that is rather it says seeking a remedy for the situation. The situation might be me. So maybe the first thing I need to do is have the situation have it explained to me. What's your vision here? Why are you doing that? What gave you the idea? Right? Because I believe it or not, I don't know everything. I'm not everywhere. And I'm not involved in everything. So I may not even know what the process is or what the end goal might be, right? We get stuck in the process a lot of time, and while we're wallowing around in the process and complaining and bellyaching about the process, we don't even know what the end goal is sometimes. And I'll tell you, if you know what the end goal is, hear me out, it'll help you understand the process. Or at least tolerate it. You might not understand it all, but you'll at least go, okay, I see where we're headed here. I'm all in. And I'll just be vulnerable and transparent with you. I've told Pastor Joe that about things before, and he can vouch for it. I've called him on the phone, or I've sent him text messages. I've done it with Sister Betty on certain things. But at the end of my message, I always say, I'm in 100%, even if I don't understand it. Even if I don't like everything about it, I'm all in. I just want to know what it's all about. And I'm confused or whatever. So don't let that confusion or misunderstanding turn into discontent. And that's why I think this spirit of Jezebel kept popping in my head today, because that's what the spirit of Jezebel will do. It'll start backbiting, it'll start undermining, it'll start creating alliances outside of the body of Christ. And those alliances that are outside of the body of Christ, ready for this? They can exist in the body of Christ, in the same building, in the same group of people. But let me tell you something, they're not in the body of Christ. They're outside the body of Christ, but they're sitting right next to you in church. And that's what we got to be careful of. And our speech. The hardest muscle to tame. I believe that's biblical as well. Like a rudder on a big ship. Your tongue. Does anybody have any comments on speech? Or anything you want to share on that? Because in a minute we're going to promise to really be careful with how we say things and what we say. And we're going to have fun tonight. But we're being real. And I wanted to start the study with that because this ain't no joke. And that's why I was being real serious when I said, if you don't feel it, don't say it. Because you're not impressing the person that's sitting next to you. And speech is tough. I would argue that of all the things on this lesson plan tonight, it started with speech. That's the toughest one. I can put a suit and tie on and sit in church for a couple hours on Sunday and be really quiet. But at some point during the week, I got to make sure nothing stupid comes out of my mouth. That's a lot harder. Because we're not talking about doing these things while you're in church. We're not talking about doing these things only while you're serving the church. with the church, for the church, outside the church. We're not talking about just then. We're talking about lifetime commitments tonight. Just got real. The second mile leader class got real in week 16, where there's no turning back from it. And I think we talked about this one week when I was up here, and we talked about Christianity and being born again and being saved Christians. And I was blunt that night too. And I said, don't come whining about the obligations now. You signed up for it.
Yeah. That's right.
Nobody made you do it. That's biblical too. So we're going to talk about speech. Do you have a comment? Were you getting up? Go ahead. I heard your chair squeak. I thought maybe you were getting up.
I can always say something. You know that? I guess I want to just point out that when we are saying watch your speech, it's not that we can't have disagreement in the body of Christ.
Right.
It's not that we're not going to have confrontation. We have to confront things, right?
Yeah.
And there are times where things need confronted, mm-hmm. and it makes us better.
Amen.
It makes us better because we work together and we work closer through those confrontations. So it's not saying that, because there's been sometimes, I think, that in the church world that people were left with the impression they didn't have a right to speak to anything.
Right, yeah.
And what I was thinking about speech is Paul was telling the church, I forget which letter it was, but he alluded to the fact that we all are saying the same thing, right? And it's not that we're repeating everything verbatim. But it's that our speech is consistent with what Jesus Christ has declared.
Yeah.
And so there may be moments of confrontation. There may be moments of disagreement. There's going to be moments where we misunderstand one another. But we have to continue to communicate. That's why speech is important.
Mm-hmm.
We communicate through that. And all the while, we're still saying the same thing. We can have a disagreement, but we're still saying the same thing. And I think that is the pivotal point of perspective, especially when we're talking about being leaders, not just in this church, but in the body of Christ, right?
Yeah.
Being
mm-hmm.
leaders is saying, hey, look, we can have disagreements, but our perspective is we're pointing everyone to Jesus.
Amen.
And so the disagreement might be about how effective is this pointing someone to Christ, right? And so we have to figure that out and talk about that and work through that together. But the speech is, hey, it's Jesus. Get to Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important we say that, especially when we're talking about speech. I'm a big proponent of people having individuality, right? And
yeah.
diversity. God's church is diverse, and it's beautiful when it's that way. And I hate it because we can become cultish
mm-hmm.
if we make it being our speech being the same thing, that we have to say exactly the same
right.
thing and be identical
right.
and be uniform and all of that. And that stuff makes me nervous as a pastor. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
We should have differences here.
Sure.
People should be different, because that's how God's created us.
Yeah.
And our gifts then can we rely on one another.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that clear. When we're talking about this stuff, please know what perspective we're talking
right.
from.
Amen. And our motivation is a good word there. You know, the things we say, our motive should be to direct people to Christ. Because we're going to disagree. My Lord, if you haven't looked at somebody that posts a Christian saying on Facebook, my Lord, just post a scripture. And the Christians will just start eating themselves alive. And that's not healthy.
No.
That's not reasoning in the word together that Pastor Joe's talking about and becoming stronger. So I'm glad Pastor Joe said that, because that is the whole part that made me a little about some of this. Because the lesson plan, and Jimmy, I think you got that first or the next slide. I think it's the, yeah, so this is where I wanted to clarify things tonight, and Pastor Joe just, you know, kind of said it again. We are going to say some things together, but this is the reason that I spent as much time in my beginning as I did, because we don't want people to be confused on you know, reciting this and say after me and, you know, that stuff. But what this is, it's a verbal commitment to God as a body of believers together with witnesses. And I think that's important. And I think we can, if we read them in that context, then we have to choose to believe what we're saying. And the idea here is these five attributes of a second mile leader, that we're just going to verbally commit that we're going to do our best to maintain these principles. So if you want to say it with me, let's go ahead and do this one. It says, as a second mile leader, I agree to conduct my life so as not to be a stumbling block for anyone through the words I say or the actions I take. And I think no matter what church you go to, those are good words to live by. So the next one we got, has anybody got any other comments on speech? So the next one, go ahead, Sister Sally, come on up. You're here, you on microphone? Let me get you a mic. You're welcome.
Yes, and this is a really important, and we're not just talking about us here inside this building, because it's easy to speak the right words in here.
Amen.
It's very easy, but I find it hard because I walk with sinners. Mm-hmm. Most of the people are sinners. They're really good people now, but they're sinners, and I don't... My desire has always been, from when I first got saved, I always said, help me not to be a stumbling block. Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. And I watch my words, and I don't, you know, I don't always jump on the bandwagon and say, quit saying that. That's terrible.
Right.
You know, I just try to show them Jesus by what I say and what
Amen.
I do.
Amen.
Whether I'm... You didn't make any headway, I don't know, and it doesn't matter, Lord knows.
Amen.
But yeah, it's so easy to talk right with Christians, but how often are we with each other all the time?
Right.
I'm not around the Christians very much, except when I come to church.
Right, yeah. That's right. That's a really good point. The world's got a whole lot of non-Christians in it, or as Bishop Ming called them, pre-Christians.
Yes. And we should watch our talk, because Amen. That tells if you're really a Christian or not.
Amen. I think that's in, I don't quote scripture by verbatim, but I think it's in the book of James where he says, you don't get salt water and fresh water out of the same well. Something like that. But that's the idea. Anything else on speech? And Sally, if you have a comment, you just raise your hand. I'll bring you a microphone. Because we've got them on both sides too, so we'll get you one. So the next one is conduct. I'm going to make sure this isn't our recited part. Yeah, all right. So conduct, and this is for your papers. I don't know if I've missed any of the papers yet or not. I think this is where the papers begin. So if you do have your paper to fill out, we got some blue letters here. As a leader in this body, I commit to behave in such a manner as to influence people toward Christ, not away from Him or His church. I will seek to live a life that is worthy of imitation. And I will conduct myself in such a way that if people follow in my footsteps, they will be led straight to Jesus. I couldn't help but think of the Apostle Paul when I was reading these parts. There's a scripture, I believe it's in Philippians, and Paul says, emulate what you see in me. He doesn't say, do everything like I do it. He says, emulate what you see in me. And that's because Paul's goal was to emulate Christ. So Paul believed that if you saw what was in him, you wouldn't see the things that he might have slipped up on as blatantly, right? And I think that's important. When we show As Sally said, when we show the love of Christ, that should be the thing that people see the most. Should be. I'm not saying it always is. And listen, some of that's subject to them too, right? The Bible says the eyes are the lamp to the body. If the eyes are full of light, the body will be full of light. But if it's full of darkness, how much darkness would there be? So it's up to us. We're going to talk about that a little later, but are we looking at people with the benefit of the doubt? Because if we can't, we surely can't expect a sinner to, right? But I thought that was interesting. Seek to live a life worth imitation. That's what Jesus did. That's what he did. That was his purpose. That we imitate him. Be more like him. Be a copycat, Sister Sally said. Amen. If you're going to copy anybody, copy Jesus, right? So I thought that was some good stuff there to, you know, influencing. We've already talked a little bit about, but make sure we're influencing people toward Christ. Not away. Not away from his church. Not away from his people, but towards. So don't talk and act. The other scripture that comes to mind was when Paul rebuked Peter when he was mingling with the Gentiles until the Jewish people showed up. And then he went, "Whoop! I don't want to do that. Hello. You know, and Paul said, "What's the matter with you? What makes you think they're going to want to be like us if they see you acting like that?" Right? That was a good imitation of bad conduct, and Paul called him out on it. To Pastor Joe's point a minute ago, Paul called him out on it. Peter didn't quit. He took it. As best as he took Mark with him, they left and went away, but he kept serving. That was a pretty strong rebuke he put up with. But here's the thing, as Christians, we have to know when we get a rebuke, we know. I always feel like I'm being harsh, but we know if we're worthy of the rebuke or not. So don't let your self-righteousness go, "Well, how dare him tell me I'm wrong?" Even though I know I'm wrong, he can't tell me I'm wrong. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But you have to admit you're wrong. And I can tell you this, unless it's a really ill-motived person, if somebody tells you you're wrong, at least consider it. Because there's a really good chance that something about what you did was probably not really, really good or really, really right. So take that to heart when somebody says, "Man, what'd you do that for?" Okay? Because that's our conduct. We do stuff. But it's important that the stuff that we do is influencing people toward Christ. As a leader, we bear the responsibility for people around us. And it says, because of that, we must serve without limits to be as large of an influence as we can. There's some interesting statements in our lesson plan, I think. One of the things I thought about when I read that, I'll keep telling you all the things I thought about since nobody else is really thinking about anything. Pastor Joe told us one time, I think I heard it because I think Jimmy found an old cassette tape or something of Pastor Joe's dad preaching. And I had just started coming to church here. And I don't remember how I got, but I was able to listen to it. And he was preaching on being a part-time Christian. And that's what I thought about when I read this line today where it says, no limits. You don't get to say, "Okay, well, I've been a Christian all day, I'm going to the bar." Unless you're going in there to prophesy. Right? But that's the idea. That's what came to my mind, that there's no limits on when we're supposed to be influencing people to Christ. It should be all the time. And by, as once again, as the Apostle Paul said, by all means necessary. He says, I became all things to all men and went through a whole list of stuff. But he also says, I never once allowed myself to step outside of the laws of Christ, which is what Sally just talked about. Even when you're running around with those people that we call sinners, because they're your friends. But that doesn't mean you have to act like them, right? And that's the idea, and that can be hard. I can tell you right now, work's the toughest place. It's the toughest place to work. I would hope your friends at least understand that you're a Christian and they try not to push you away, you know, or whatever. But at work, it's easy to put on the tough guy persona or the, you know, macho, and I won't speak for what the ladies go through because I don't know. But for guys, that's really easy to fall into that trap. So, we must be committed to serving this body of believers. That's tough. You know, you're not serving this body of believers with your presence. You're not. You're not serving God with your presence. I'll leave that one alone, but stew on that one. Because believe it or not, that's what being a second mile leader is talking about, is serving God, His people, His church. The word attending is not even in our lesson plan tonight. A second mile leader knows that no area of service is beneath them. That might be on your paper. A second mile leader will serve wherever, whenever, however, for whoever they're needed. Last week, Pastor Alicia talked on being fat, faithful, available, and teachable. Availability is your best attribute, people. So your next lesson plan notes, second mile leaders serve, and then I'll just read down through them, with biblical integrity. There's some examples behind them. Do you guys have the examples on your paper where it says a good name is to be desired above great riches? Do you have that? You don't. Okay, I'll read those then. The second one is ridiculous stewardship. It says be a tither. Absolute dependability. No excuses. Be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. Be prepared, because if you're barely on time, you're late. Selfless teamwork. It says look for ways to serve other teammates. We are all serving the same vision. Pastor Joe already touched on that. Extreme excellence. Treat your ministry as if it was the most important thing you're ever going to do. Because it is. It says, laying up your treasure where moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. We have a saying here, the most important service is the next one. Radical respect. The little note in my paper says, consider other people ahead of yourself. That is humility. When you respect somebody, We talked about this a little bit earlier, the line, didn't we? Respect their space. Respect their feelings. Respect, I don't know, everything about them. Respect their family. Respect their relationship. Respect what they're going through. Respect every. Respect people. Be respectful. You know, we talk all the time about these generations and this and that. Teach your kids to be respectful. Because I don't care what anybody says, being respectful is one of the most important things you can do when you meet that new person or when you come across somebody that you may be having a disagreement with. Have you ever just sat there and listened to somebody that you disagree with? That's being respectful. Letting them say their piece, even if you don't agree with it, let them say it. Go ahead, Sister Sally.
That's what I wanted to say. We have to respect them even when we don't agree with them, mm-hmm. even when we know they're wrong. You can't just jump in and say, don't just be quiet and listen to me. And then, you know, yeah. we got to respect them. And that respect will get you further
yeah.
than if you try to just shut them up and do it your way.
Amen. Yeah, that's
You talk
that's
my
true.
Way or be quiet.
Yeah. Flip that off, Sally. You know how to do it?
No, you show me. Okay.
You just keep it right there. That way you got it. And if somebody else needs it, we'll grab it. Go ahead, Sister Betty.
So should we respect sassy teenager? Should we?
What do you mean by respect? Put up with it?
What do you think respecting a sassy teenager means?
So if I'm respecting someone, I guess I would look at it as that I can appreciate where they're coming from, mm-hmm. but I can also institute discipline in that situation. If you're saying I'm the elder and mm-hmm. this is a younger kid, that I should be able to be respectful to them, which in my opinion, that's not calling them a snot-nosed little brat. That's not throwing right. paper towels at them. But I can be respectful by asking them to be. And that would be my first thought, is I can say, hey, hold on. Let's change where we're at. Now, some people that's not going to work with. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I would choose to separate myself probably. Right. You know.
But that's still respectful.
I think, and that would be my opinion. Of
and
how I could
because
that.
We yeah. think that we can be respectful to elders, mm-hmm. to people my own age. But if I have a rotten kid, I don't have to respect them.
Yeah.
Because they're a rotten kid.
Right.
But honestly, we have to be careful how we speak to children, how we speak to teenagers, how we speak about them when yeah. they're around us. Mm-hmm. There's many of a teenager who has been wounded by what other people have said about them because they overheard it, or their parent is talking about them when they're standing right there. And we have to be careful yeah. about our speech to everyone.
Yes.
And it's really important that we're careful about how we speak to children and to teenagers as well. So,
amen. So if you're respectful, make it a habit. And that's something that I would hope, if you practice it enough, you won't have to think about it. Because, Betty, that's a great example, because that would be one of the places, somebody you disagree with and then somebody that you think you're superior to. You know? And that... Being radically respectful would be respecting everybody, wouldn't it? Yeah. So that was a really good comment, and I agree with that 100%. And I don't know. You know, we all react in different ways, but I can tell you right now, if you practice it, you're going to handle that situation better because I'll tell you, a kid can catch you off guard. Because at least in my generation, I don't expect that. And if I have a kid that would do what Betty just I would be like, whoa, boy, I didn't see that coming. You know, and then I might have to think for a second, how do I react here? So be respectful. That's good. Any other comments on that? We've got to probably keep moving. I always run out of time. So the next one says, if you agree, please say this with me. So we'll read this one together. As a second mile leader, I agree to conduct my life in a way that follows through on commitments and serves others well. That's respectful too. Being where you're supposed to be and when you're supposed to be there, that's respectful. All right, we'll get through a couple more here. Love. This has got a whole bunch of them. And these are mostly, I think, biblical out of 1 Corinthians 13, I think. Second mile leaders commit to exhibiting the characteristics of 1 Corinthians 13. I almost read ahead. Through our lives and ministries. How do we know whether we're walking in love? Now, most of these don't have comments behind them on my sheet, so I'm just going to read through these. Love is patient with people. Love is kind and good. Love does not allow for envy or jealousy. Love does not brag or seek recognition from others. Love does not feel or act better than others. Love is not rude. Love is not touchy or quick-tempered. Love does not record the wrongs done. Keep a record of wrongs done. Love allows for no gloating over the wrongdoing or misfortunes of others. Love is satisfied only with truth. Love is sturdy under heavy responsibility and is willing to cover for a weaker Christian. Love chooses to trust, huh? Oh, I was trying to blow through them. I'm sorry. Jimmy, put them on. See, these slides, I'm terrible with this. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying, amen, amen. She was praising me. Can you go back one more, Jimmy? So one of the things, go ahead, Pat. Go ahead. Sally's got that one. And why she gets caught up on, are you caught up? Okay, go to the next one, Jimmy.
While they're writing them down, I just want to say that, you know, we talked about speech and conduct, but this one, love, is what helps us maintain our speech and conduct. And going back to the example Sister Betty gave, if we truly love that teenager, then it's easier to show them respect and be patient with them while they are being hard to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, and something I try to do for myself, just to give an example that I'm not always successful at, but I'm working on, is remind myself that I used to be that teenager. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And God was patient with me and is patient with me. And I had people that were patient with me and loved me through that. And I need to be one of those people.
Amen. So. Yeah. And that's not, don't mistake that for tolerating it. Because correcting it is probably the best, most respectful thing you can do for that child. One of the things I want to talk about, and Jimmy, when everybody is everybody caught up with those? Go ahead and go to the next one, Jimmy, and I'll talk for a minute, and then we'll read through them real quick. But I thought it was interesting. It says, love is sturdy under heavy responsibility and is willing to cover for weaker Christians. And that's in this lesson a couple times. What does that mean? What does it mean that I will cover for a weaker Christian? What does that mean? Does that mean not tell the pastor that I seen him uptown misbehaving? Does that mean lying for him? What does that mean? Well, when I was in high school, somebody said, dude, you better cover for me. They wanted me to lie for him. Right? That means they did something dumb, and they didn't want anybody else to know, and they said, if anybody asked you, you better cover for me. Is that what that means? Go ahead, Brother Jim.
I think that kind of backing up a little bit with the, and actually talking about this too, is that as we have children and stuff like that, you know, if you just let a kid do whatever they want, that isn't love.
Right. Amen.
You know, if you've got a kid that goes, I'm just going to do whatever I want and run out in the street and, you know, you're going to get arrested because those kids right. will be, because they, you know, to show them love and make them understand that there's certain things that would you can't do that are would put you into danger. Certain characteristics of your personality that rub people the wrong way, that you need to adjust those when you're, you know, be respectful and stuff like that. And I think that, you know, going back to talking, you know, about a teenager of going, listen, I love you to death, but you got to tone that down a little bit.
Right.
Or, you know, and in love, and really, you know, there's a lot of kids that are out there that don't have that, don't have people in their lives that will sit there and tell them to do that.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, you're a little bit off your rocker here at this point. But the same thing with, as far as covering for another Christian, that is having grace.
Amen.
And going, listen, I've gone through this. You know, you may think this is the right way to do this. You may think this, you know, but this is the way I've done it. And, you know, the same thing with kids going, you know, your teenage kids going, I understand that you think that you know everything. That's perfectly fine. Yep. But at the same time, if you would listen to me and listen to my guidance, I'm going to steer you in the right direction to go, hey, this is, you know, don't make the same mistakes I did and have the same pitfalls that I had and stumblings and everything else. Let me help you step over those mistakes, help you, you know, leap over those and not make those same mistakes. So it's an easier way for you.
Amen. And that's really where my head was going with it. And I just thought the word cover was an odd use of the word there, because it says cover for weaker Christians. And I think help them, love them, assist them, disciple them. Sister Sally.
Yeah, Jimmy's got it right there. It's right how you say it.
Yeah.
You know, that's you cover for them when you talk gentle and explain, and you're not bossing and bowling them around.
Yeah.
It's when you show the love of Christ, and it's like Jesus is talking to me, and he's talking real gentle and soft, saying, no, Sally, don't do that.
Amen.
This is what we're talking. So that's what it is. It's love.
Amen.
It's love and how you talk to people.
It all comes back to that, doesn't it? Amen. Yeah. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. Amen.
The covering also is speaking of protecting.
Yep, I was going and keeping the covering safe. Of God, yeah.
Well, then I'll let you finish.
No, that's okay. You can go ahead. You started it. That was
well, and so you know, it talks about we are the body of Christ, and our uncomely parts are covered,
mm-hmm.
right, in the sense of a body,
yep.
because they need to be protected to keep safe.
Yep.
And so, when we have a weaker Christian, maybe they're a babe in Christ, right? We cover up babies in the wintertime to keep them safe from the harsh cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that we're hiding something for them
exactly.
that they're doing wrong. It's we're protecting them.
Yeah. They're the most vulnerable in all society, whether it's the animal world, the human world, or the church world. A young, weaker Christian is vulnerable to the attacks and the tactics of the enemy. And let me tell you this, the tactic to the church, too. Sad but true. That young, weaker Christian, they use the word weaker. It doesn't say newer, it says weaker. You know how easy it is to offend a weak Christian? I've probably done it tonight if there's anybody in here. For real, it's not that hard, is it? If you've been around long enough. All right, is everybody caught up on the slides? I apologize. I'm going to go ahead and just, can I read through them? I'll just read from pretty quick here. Love chooses, Betty just said this, it chooses to trust. Look at people with a little bit of a positive. Love believes the best in all situations. Love never loses hope. Love remains faithful in spite of repeated attacks. Love never quits. Love is perfect and complete. Love displays maturity rather than immaturity. And love handles others as if it were handling God. So that's a lot of weight right there. So my only advice for you on that one is don't throw the word love around. That's a tough word. If that word means all of that, you don't love root beer. Yeah, I won't tell you you don't love your dog, because you might. But to love a person and meet those expectations, let's just be real, that there's not too many of them that are easy. There's a lot of absolutes. Like, I try to cover for myself by not using absolutes very often, like never and always. Well, this uses them. Parents in here, you ever quit loving your kids? Even though you were just madder than you ever be at anybody ever because they just disappointed you, let you down, got sassy with you. But you never quit loving. Unconditionally. It says, we'll seek out those who are lonely, hurt, wounded, and broken, and we will pour ourselves into them. And then this is going to where Pastor Joe went. We choose to cover them with support and prayer rather than exposing their weaknesses and failures, because that is not going to do any good. You're going to hurt more? Is that what somebody said? Yeah, it's going to hurt them more, isn't it? It's going to end up crushing them. It says here, and I think this is one of your fill-ins, it says, second mile leaders do not take the high road when we get offended. It says we take the highest road. That's another one of those oxymorons, because we're not supposed to be easily offended and we're not supposed to get offended about stuff. But let's just be honest, we do get offended sometimes. The Bible says don't ever get offended ever in your life. It says don't be easily offended. Bless you. Right? So that's the goal. There will be offense, but don't be easily offended. And when you do have that come into your life. I'm going to jump down to faith, Jimmy, because I want to get through these last couple real fast. As a second mile leader, I commit to being a person who is in the word and prayer daily. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the word of God. The bishop said we should sometimes read that one backwards when he was here to preach, and I thought that was pretty cool. That our hearing comes from God. And faith, and he had a whole section on it, and I don't want to mess it up, but I thought it was interesting when he said we can almost turn that one around, and if it's almost written backwards for a reason. He had a whole thing. I don't want to mess it up. But anyway, it says if we're not setting time to pray and read God's word every day, if you don't have a prayer life, you can't be a second mile leader. You can't give out what you don't have. Harsh, but true. As a leader on this team and in this body, others need to be ready at a moment's notice to pray and encourage them. Second mile leaders, this is a blue one. Second mile leaders know that it is only out of an overflow of the presence of God in our lives that we're able to be of any assistance to those around us who need us. We've talked about that many times over the last 16 weeks, that if you can't get yourself right, you're not going to be any benefit to somebody else. They will see right through you, especially if they're looking for something. If they don't trust you, if they think you're trying to get something or gain something, they'll see right through your garbage is what it is. If you're trying to give something that you don't have, it's So just being real for a minute. I've done that too many times tonight probably, but it's just true. We realize that people will need to lean on us as a source of strength and hope, and it is imperative that our faith is strong enough to support them and us. We must make sure our relationship with God is fresh so we can lift the faith of others. I thought that was an interesting, because we're always pointing people to Christ, right? We're always pointing people to God, right? We're always saying, you got to pray more, get in your Bible more, you got to have a prayer life, you got to have a devotion. Can I tell you something? Young Christians and weaker Christians might not know what that means. That doesn't mean we don't need to point them towards that. What it means is they might need help getting there. So if you're not there, how can you tell me how to get there? And that's what I got out of that. Because it says that we need to lift up. It's not me that's saving or fixing or doing anything for them, but I might need to show them what it means to point towards Christ and get that in their life. Help them to where they're on their own when you're pushing the bike and the training wheels are on and you're pushing the bike without the training wheels and all of a sudden you stop. And that person's teaching Bible study. You're thinking, whoa. So there's another if you agree with here. And then we're going to get finished up, I promise. Second mile leader, this is the if you agree with me on faith. And I think I skipped the one on the other one. It says, if you agree, say this with me. As a second mile leader, I agree to make time regularly to seek God and read His Word. I understand it is important that I continue to grow in Christ so I can help others grow in Christ. And that's the goal in that one. Don't ever fall into the trap where you think you can fix them. It's not your job. All right, the last one here, I think, is purity. Well, kind of the last one. Oh, my Lord, you're going to get fired. As people who cast a shadow of influence over those we lead, second mile leaders realize that our personal conduct and spiritual condition bears influence over those we lead. It says here in James, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and wonderful results. You have to be a little bit vulnerable to be a good leader. And you have to be able to trust people knowing stuff that you're not proud of. Sorry. Just going to make your life harder if you harbor it and hold it in and don't tell anybody about it. Get it out. Find somebody you trust. Have them pray with you. Have them pray for you. Have them put it on their bathroom mirror for you and pray every day that God heals you of what you're dealing with. And that's what that scripture's talking about. Pray for one another. Be willing to talk to you. Be accountable. I think Alicia said a couple weeks ago, give somebody permission to speak to you about something. Well, you can't do that if they don't know what you need spoken to about. That's not giving them permission. Permission is saying, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. I know you guys don't agree with that here. I know that if I stood up in front of the church, 50% would pray for me, 50% would judge me. So I don't want to do that. I wanted to come to you and I want you to help me. Give me some advice. Pray with me. Is there any scriptures that'll help me? You know, that's the idea. And that's just growing up. All right. The very last section, I promise. Shepherding duties. And this is the last blue spots we have. It says, as a second mile leader, you're needed each week to connect with the people and to assist in creating a positive experience for guests. We have greeters and we have people that are called to that. We're all called to that. Second mile leaders do not become offended when I like some of these. These are church people stuff right here. It says, when the parking lot fills up and someone asks us to move our car, we don't get offended when we're asked to show up early or stick around a little late and clean toilets or put chairs away. Or when the room gets full and we're asked to give up our seat. I thought about that one when I read that today, and I thought to myself, I closed my eyes and I thought, if every seat in this church was full, and I was sitting right here, and I heard that door open, And I turn around and there was a family of five walked in the door. Would I go, wow, can you believe how many people are here today? Or would I look at my wife and say, hey, let's get up so they can sit down. I know where I sit. They just walked in and have no idea what to do. I'm not leaving if I get up out of my seat, but they might leave and if I don't. And I thought, what a glorious day it would be as if 17 people in this church stood up and said, you can have our seats. And all us people that come to church here that guard our seat with our lives every Sunday morning had to stand in the back. Come on. Wouldn't that be a glorious day? Don't become offended when we have to move to multiple, check this one out, this is prophecy, move into multiple services and are asked to attend a new service that happens to be at a different time that we don't really feel like going to. Or we don't even understand what they're saying, yeah. And I thought that one hit me hard because a couple of the ministries I'm in are serving the Hispanic services on Sunday afternoons. And we've been talking in our ministry meetings. You know what I tell them? This is one of the things I tell them that I have to keep in my mind. It's not convenient for me, but it means the world to somebody else. And if we can think that way, man, get out of your own way, man. Yep, absolutely. You know, get out of your own way. Because that's what it's all about. And that's a second mile leader. Now, I'm not saying I am. I'm saying with that attitude, though, that's what a second mile leader thinks. I don't care if it's convenient for me or not. I'm needed. Don't be offended when we're asked to lead or lead the way making a financial sacrifice. We'll leave that one. I'll let Joe preach on that one Sunday. All right. As a second mile leader, it says we do not have the luxury of saying no to serve where we are needed or to have a bad attitude because we just don't want to do it. So I want to clarify that. You have the right to say no if you don't want to serve. That doesn't mean you're not a good second mile leader. Unless you say no every single time. Right? And our pastors preach that. Don't burn yourself. Don't worry. Don't overdo yourself. So you do have a right to sometimes say, you know what, man, I just really don't think I can do it Saturday. But let me tell you this one. If you're going to serve, you don't have a right to do it with a bad attitude. I'll speak for Pastor Josie. Don't hold it against him. We'll do it better without you. Yeah. And I mean that. If you're going to have a bad attitude and you're sour, stay home. Yeah. Or come up here for do that. Yeah. Right? Because we don't serve with bad attitudes. Right. Yeah. That is not service. No. That's the opposite of service. Even if you're flipping hamburgers or opening the door for somebody, you ain't serving God. Yeah. Not with a bad attitude. And here's another one I'm going to throw out there just for the church people. I made a note on this one. This isn't in our plan that I'm going to stop because this is going to push you guys all over the edge. If somebody asks you if you can help do something, and I'm not talking about calling into a ministry like leading a ministry or joining the prayer team. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your everyday servant, like being out here early on Saturday to help set up chairs or to come out and help power wash the sidewalk. You ready? You don't have to pray about that. If that's your answer, just say no. I'll pray about that and get back to you. Well, God already told me you were supposed to help. Now what are you going to do? Right? So don't use that. If that's your answer, that means you probably don't want to do it. Just be honest. Say, I don't like power washing or putting chairs away. Yeah. Right? Because we use that one. We always try to use that. Let me pray about that. Yeah, soap soup, Joe, super spiritual. Yeah, I don't do anything without the Lord directing me. Well, that's really good, but we need help moving the chairs, right? So that's a good funny way to end tonight. But that's for real. Be a good servant. Be a good second mile leader, because we believe in all of you at the Lighthouse Church. We believe in every single person that comes in here. We love and appreciate every single servant that comes through those doors, and we believe every one of you has a heart for that and has the skill set and the qualifications to do it, with or without the book, right? Because we got the book. Amen? Does anybody have any prayer requests? Jimmy, anything online? They probably all jumped offline, didn't they? They left. Jimmy shut her down. Ran out of space on the computer. I'm sorry. I just get fired up. And this was, in my defense, there was a lot of stuff to go through tonight. So, any prayer requests locally in the house? Bob? Rob? Oh, Rob. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, Rob and Melvin. Yep. I thought you were saying Bob, because we'll pray for Bob, too. You know there's one out there, in there. Amen. Anybody else? All right, let's close in prayer. We'll bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you for, first of all, for your presence in our lives, for your guidance in our lives, for the wisdom and revelation each and every day of knowing you more, Lord, to help us live more like you, to be a second mile leader in your kingdom, in your church, in your body, and to serve alongside of each of our brothers and sisters and do it all for your glory, Lord. Lord, we pray for Rob for a quick recovery right now. You've already done a miraculous thing for him. You've sought it out. You've healed it. Lord, we just ask him for the time to be pleasant for Rob. We ask the time to just go rapidly for Rob, because he's been through a trial, Lord. So we just ask that you give him peace and just make it seem a supernaturally quick healing for Rob, because we miss him here. And we need him, and he's a servant of the Lord. And we just look forward to getting him back in the body of Christ in person. We know that he's with us in spirit, Lord. Lord, we pray for Melvin right now, that you continue to just have your hands upon him, Lord. Just have peace for Melvin right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that over him, Lord, that he would maintain his eyes on you, Lord, and he would just feel the love and the peace that can only come from you, Lord. And Lord, we just give you all the glory for what this church and your body of believers is going to do. And Lord, we ask that you continue to build us up, clean us up, and send us out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody says, amen. Amen.